Thank you, Christy. Beautiful, beautiful song. As I talked to these friends from Iowa, this lady first, and I learned to know that they are from Iowa. By the way, I have a friend, when I went back to school in Asbury, he was from Des Moines, Iowa, and he was pastoring Wesleyan Church there. And I understand pretty large church there right in downtown. Now, but she said something. I asked, what kind of church you are attending? She said, I think she said that, well, we are just attending an ordinary church. We just want to make disciples and reach out for the community. I said, well, that's what church ought to be doing. You really can't go wrong with that. Making disciples and reaching out for the community. I think it's a good description for any church, really, and we would like to say that this is what we want to do here at Berea UMC. Am I right? Good. So this is Pentecost Sunday, and we celebrate in the coming of the Holy Spirit and when the church was born. Wonderful community called Church of Christ. When we listen to these gospel readings, first coming from the Gospel of John chapter 3, and then this second one coming from chapter 7. Of course, in the order we read it, we read first from the lectionary gospel, and then we read something that I added to it, which is the third chapter of the same gospel. But to think about what is the blessing of power, and the blessing of the Pentecost. The blessing of the power in the church is somewhat hazy thing for us to understand all the time. What is power in the church? Well, being biblical, there's only one kind of right power in the church, and it comes from above. It comes from the Holy Spirit. We have different gifts and talents to serve the Lord, but the real power comes from above. You and I, we don't have it. Now here Jesus says in the Gospel of John, chapter 7, Jesus is standing at the Feast of Tabernacles to offer, I would call, an ultimate invitation for satisfaction. Namely, Jesus promises that anyone who thirsts, that's what he says, and come to Jesus, will receive the Holy Spirit. Anyone. Now, it doesn't say, at least all the translations that I studied, that anyone except them and those and these would not receive the Holy Spirit. But it says, anyone who thirsts and come to Jesus, will receive the Holy Spirit. And they will be born again, and they will become part of God's kingdom, eternal life. Now, believers are not only filled internally when they come to the Lord, but they will also become instruments, what I call conducts of living waters flowing out to others, to community, making disciples, inviting others to come to the Lord. This we do through ministries and witness and loving and serving in the community. Now, the speech of Jesus took place at the Feast of Tabernacles, also known Sukkot in Hebrew language, Sukkot, which is again translated a Feast of Booths, the Feast of Booths. Many names at the same feast. Now, in Jewish tradition, it is a major autumn harvest festival in Israel. It still is. Today, the festival of tabernacles are celebrated also by Christ-believing Jews. And they have this time of year at that time of year, they have great Christian festivals. Well, they call themselves Messianic Jews, Jesus believing Jews. And they are using the same structure and the same content, yet they are going a little deeper instead of just Old Testament, because they bring Christ right in the middle of the festive season. This season begins on the 15th day of the Hebrew month of Tishri, month called Tishri, which is in between our September and October, and this festival lasts for 7 days. And this feast is to commemorate the Exodus, the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness as Israelites escaped from Egypt. And there are many rituals. You may want to take a study on this and a little bit more. Many rituals involved and performed during this feast, and the priests are doing that. But this festival holds a rich prophetic symbols about the coming Messiah who sets them free, God's people free, and who brings power upon his believers. So Jesus chose, of course, right audience, right time. The last day of the 7-day feast, he stood up and he proclaimed, he predicted, and he promised, anyone who comes to him will receive the Holy Spirit. Here, waters are referenced to Holy Spirit and his coming. Let me ask you this, church. Let me ask you this, and friends who are worshiping with us at home or traveling to Facebook and YouTube, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? You do. You say, well, Timo, your short-term memory is struggling. We've just professed together a little while ago that we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the Holy Universal Church. Yes, we did. I know we did. But listen to this. It is maybe much easier to profess that together with other church members, brothers and sisters, than to really follow the Holy Spirit in all that you do in your ordinary life, and to believe in his presence in the life of the church, and to honor his presence in the life of the church. Sad news. I hate to share sad news from the pulpit, but this is just reality. This is not my news, but this is based on what we see and what we have heard from studies. Today, unfortunately, we can look at any direction across the denominational lines, and we see powerless Christianity. There are some vital church communities. I would like to say that we are one of those, but there are some vital communities, but large number of Christianity and churches, even here in the United States, Western Europe, are weakening communities, weakening Christian communities. Powerless Christian life. No power to witness, no power to pray, no power or motivation for church attendance. You see anywhere you look, and based on any studies. For example, here in our dear Madison County, maybe 20 years ago, you can say 70-80% of any Madison County people and families were attending some church. Today is 12%. 12%. We have 40 more churches in Madison County than 10 years ago, but less and less Christians attending these churches. Well, you say, Timo, but there are some growing mega churches even in Madison County. Yes, there are. They are reaching out for existing communities and pulling Christians from other churches, but they are not really reaching out for unchurched. That's the problem. So the Church of Christ is lost its mission. It is lost its mission. It is because I say it, but it's just a reality. Sometimes we may see different reasons for it. But there is powerless Christianity all over the world, and any direction you look across a denominational life. If we are spiritually alive, if you are follower Jesus this morning, it is because Holy Spirit is in your life and in your heart. When we see God's leading, God's challenging us, when we see God's supporting, comforting us, we feel His presence, we can say that it is the Holy Spirit at work. And we are experiencing that. Maybe one of you today, right here in the sanctuary. You say, Timo, He really comforted me. He really empowered me just a few days ago, maybe even this morning. In Hebrew, the words for spirit, in Hebrew language, I mean, is the same word that the wind or breath. Wind or breath. And in Greek, it is, well, these are nearly same words, really. But then the same is true in Greek language. These are the original languages of the Bible. In trying to describe God's activity among them, the ancient God-fearing people were saying that it was like a God's breath, like sacred wind blowing through our church, blowing through this community. We just don't know where it came from. People who never went to church, all of a sudden they start feeling, I must start seeking the Lord, I must find Christian community. It could not be seen or held, but people experience His presence. It is what Jesus says, the wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. Our reading this morning, but the effect of God's Spirit, like the wind, that could be held and felt and known anywhere people are. Where do we find the evidence of the Holy Spirit at work? Some of you say, well, I feel His presence all the time. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But where do we find it? Of course, we find it in the Bible. From the first chapter of the Bible, Holy Spirit is there. It is in the Bible, His presence is there. In Genesis first chapter, it says, wind from God swept over the face of the waters as He was taking part in creation narrative. So the Father, the Creator, and the Son, through which everything was created, and the Holy Spirit, they all were involved in creation. Later in the Old Testament, we often hear of the Holy Spirit saying, the Spirit of the Lord. We hear in the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Him, came upon her. The Spirit of the Lord provide guidance and direction for the community, for Israelites. Again and again, it was the Spirit of the Lord that caused this wonderful thing to happen. In Matthew's account of Jesus' baptism, Jesus saw, according to the gospel, saw the Spirit of God. People saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and aligning on Him, on Jesus. So there's Trinity involved in that baptism. The Father's voice, the Heavenly Father's voice, the Son being baptized to fulfill all the righteousness, and the Holy Spirit descending, upon Jesus. By the way, that is what every time happened when somebody's baptized. When you were baptized as an infant, there's Trinity involved. When you were baptized as a teenage boy or girl, there was Trinity involved. When you were a little more matured, you were baptized, there's Trinity involved. And then the Bible says that after Jesus' baptism, He was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. So there's Holy Spirit involved again. It doesn't say that when Jesus was baptized, there's a little family reception and the community came to celebrate His baptism. No, it says, Jesus was sent to the wilderness to be tempted. Don't be afraid when you be tempted. If you trust in the Lord and the Holy Spirit is strengthening you, you are going to learn a very powerful lesson from it. After his resurrection, Christ told his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Acts 1:8. A few weeks later, on the day of Pentecost, this came to pass. We read from the Bible, our reading this morning, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. This blessed my heart this morning. I was reading it again because I didn't find it saying that most of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, except these and these and those people were not filled with the Holy Spirit. It didn't say that. It says all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a wonderful thing. It's a gift from God. As the book of Acts and Paul's letters attest, from that time on, the early Christians were vividly aware that it was the Holy Spirit who was leading the church. Amen on that. So Berea UMC community, from this on, we don't have to wonder who is leading the church. It is the Holy Spirit who is leading the church. We need servants. You are looking at one, and you are the other one. We need gifts. We need fruit. But only one is leading the church. It is the Holy Spirit who is leading the Christ church today. And period. And then we can ask another question. Where do we need the Pentecost? Where do we need the Pentecost? Why am I asking this question? Listen to this. I feel that sometimes when you are visiting a church or churches, they never talk anything about the Holy Spirit. If somebody preaches about this, they get very confused. And they are very afraid that we don't want to bring that thing here. The power of the Holy Spirit or all the effects of the Holy Spirit or the gift of the Holy Spirit. No. We don't want that here. And they are afraid to hear that it's Holy Spirit really who is empowering and leading the church of Christ. Now we are not afraid of talking about Holy Spirit. We are welcoming the Holy Spirit. We are asking and praying in the Spirit today, please fill my heart and my life. Empower me, Lord, I can serve you and serve people you put in my way. Where we need the Holy Spirit, where we need the Pentecost, we need him for spiritual power. We need him for spiritual power. We need him for guidance. We need him for comfort, for strength, and for healing. Some of you need healing today, or somebody who is worshiping with us at home. You are watching this program, you are watching this worship, you are listening to every word, and you are praying, Lord Jesus, heal me. Give me strength. Help me through these treatments. Restore my health. Touch my life. It is Holy Spirit who can do it, and we have seen it happening. And today we continue to experience God's breath in the church, even in our church. God's Holy Spirit is with us. As one of our creeds in the United Methodist Church, we put it this way. Now, I don't want to brag, but I think I am one of the most Methodist men in this community. At least I would like to be. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Methodist. When I was introduced to Methodist doctrine, I didn't like just the doctrine. I said, that's who I am. That's what I believe in. That's me right there. That's me. But guess what? There's even greater than Methodism. There's Jesus and Christian believers. Am I right? That's the first thing we need to be, Christians. But in the Methodist creeds, one of the United Methodist creeds, we put it this way. Listen to this. We believe in the Holy Spirit, God's presence with us for guidance, for comfort, and for strength and healing. Amen on that? It is Bible. We don't have to question it. We sense the Spirit in time alone. Maybe that's where you sense Holy Spirit, when you are by yourself. Spending time alone. Maybe in prayer. In your study of the Scriptures. You are there in His presence, and you say, Timo, well, that's where I get filled with the Holy Spirit. That's where I feel. Services are wonderful, and they're fine. But when I'm by myself in front of the open Bible, He speaks to me every single time I feel His presence. What about in reflection on a difficult decision? Maybe some of you are there now. And you've been asking your friends what to do, and guess what? They don't have wisdom beforehand, but wait, afterwards, everybody is smart. Am I right? If you want to talk to wise people, talk after experiences, and especially if something goes wrong. Everybody is smart saying, I told you. No, you didn't say nothing. I asked your opinion, but you didn't say a word. But if you are reflecting on a difficult decision, or in the memory of a loved one, it is the Holy Spirit who comes to you, and He knows how to get to your heart, into your life. The Spirit touches intensely personal and different. We can model or follow somebody's example. Sometimes that's where we go wrong. It's very personal. Perhaps when you are waiting for His presence or something very personal thing, maybe it is healing. I keep on repeating. Maybe this is Holy Spirit leading us, answering this. But the Holy Spirit is in the community of believers here in the church. This is His home territory. When you are interacting with other believers like you, maybe they are way different than you, but you feel His tender presence. Somehow the Holy Spirit speaks through and throughout and through full and through the loving, interaction of God's people. It is the way He works with us. The Holy Spirit who brought the church into being is still guiding and upholding His church. Here's something I mentioned in the first service. When people talk down their church, there may be personal disappointments, and they go out and they talk bad things about their church. It always breaks my heart. First of all, it is not your church. It is Christ's church. You don't have no part of this church if there's no Christ and grace and mercy to invite you into this community. And then we start talking down and bad things and airing out our own struggles and disappointment. We are making the whole church looking in the eyes of somebody who is probably searching for church. So bad. I feel always so bad about it. On the day of Pentecost, we are to remember that we are to talk good things about Christ's church. I don't think there's bad words to spread about Jesus. Are you with me? If you find one bad word about Jesus, come over and tell me. What is that bad thing about Jesus? What is the bad thing about His community? What is the power of the Holy Spirit? Let me ask this again. It is the gifts we receive. How does the Holy Spirit affect our lives? By changing us, by renewing us, as He's doing this morning, strengthening us of the work of God's ministry. about the gifts, remember there are fruits and there are gifts, and I'm not going to preach about it. I'm going to be preaching 6 sermons on the Holy Spirit after Pentecost. Hopefully we can keep these decorations, if Diane approve it, read all the way through that season. Jesus says, you will know them by their fruits, Matthew 7:16. What sort of fruit? Paul asserts that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are all fruits that I can't give you and you can't give me. These are fruits of the Holy Spirit for the church to be more Christ-like. And then there are gifts. Paul also writes that the Spirit bestows spiritual gift on believers, like you and I, in 1 Corinthians 12:8-10. He lists 9, which vary from one person to another. We all know that. I'm using Revised Standard Version here. It says, the utterance of wisdom come from the Holy Spirit. The utterance of knowledge come from the Holy Spirit. The gift of faith come from the Holy Spirit. Gift of healings come from the Holy Spirit. Working on miracles from the Holy Spirit. Prophecy. Did you know there's a gift called prophecy in the church? The discernment of spirits from the Holy Spirit. Various kinds of tongues from the Spirit. And the interpretation of tongues come from the Spirit. So these are fruits and gifts. And they are not our own achievement. They are all gifts from the Holy Spirit who was given on the day of Pentecost. They and others are outgrowth of the Spirit work in us through grace in Jesus Christ. Something to take home before we pray. To us all who are seeking for more spiritual power and strength today, the only answer is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Guiding, leading, empowering, giving us love and grace, wisdom and strength. Friends, only answer is the Holy Spirit. Are we hungering and thirsting for Him today? Yes, we are. And we pray from one heart, come Holy Spirit and fill me, renew me and empower me to be servant of Jesus Christ today, tomorrow, as long as I serve. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If the ushers come forward, we continue our time together by the ministry of giving. So,